bets are in.
There is a storm coming! Like nothing you have ever seen! And not a one of you is prepared for it!
My, the meatloaf! Fuck!
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
That guy in little coat.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
That's what I love about these high school girls. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly, think.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso.
Whose voice is that?
I think that's my voice.
You think it's yours?
I think so. It's either mine or it's Matt.
Oh, man, it's so weird.
Matt's cabin Matt. I think it might be me.
It's some really strange effect on that.
Gotta do some new intro work already, I think.
Yeah.
I am enjoying that intro, though. I am enjoying
it. I like the music. I like the boing.
It's fun. Yeah. It's good, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, welcome to episode 43 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, just hanging out. I know what it is. November 2013 is here.
Already.
Episode 43, we're less than 10 episodes away. I bit my teeth funny when I said that.
You bit your teeth?
My teeth together. It was the front of my teeth bit together, kind of clanged.
I'm sorry, dude.
We're less than 10 episodes away from episode 52, which is
1 year anniversary.
Are we going to do a 1 year anniversary show?
Well,
are we
going to
do something special?
On episode 53.
On episode 53? I was thinking we should do episode 52 and then also a bonus, 1 year anniversary episode.
Also a bonus.
Some sort of crazy blowout of some sort.
Where things explode.
Something like that.
On podcasts.
Something like that. I don't know. What do you think? Yeah?
No? Yeah. Sounds good.
We got time to work that out.
I dig.
After the holidays.
Yeah.
Because it'll be January.
Oh, yes, it will.
So, before we get there, we got to do the task at hand, episode 43. Real quick, let's recap that Halloween party.
Halloween party was interesting.
The SBK Live Halloween Bash that we got to, that we attended recently. If you want to see I guess we can finally reveal what our costume was. I kind of didn't want to say beforehand. I wanted to be surprised.
No, whatever.
But now it's out
now
there.
Now it's over.
It's over.
I mean, it's on the social networks.
It's on the social media. We were the Blues Brothers.
Yes, we were.
Jake and Elwood.
I was Elwood.
Yeah, and it made sense. When you see us standing next to each other, it makes perfect sense why. So that was awesome. We had a great time. Pretty good turnout. Some awesome costumes.
Great costumes.
Blackula was great.
Spaceman was great.
And then some other really good stuff. But I mean,
those two are the standouts.
Astronaut Man and Spaceman. Or they're both the same guy. And Blackula. Not Black Dracula.
No, Blackula.
He was Blackula.
He was Blackula.
He was dancing with all the girls.
Every last one of them.
He was having such a good time. He was great.
He was dancing with his lady, the Slutty Princess.
Yeah. Asian cop lady. He was having a good time.
Yeah.
So if you want to see a picture of us in our pretty sweet Blues Brothers getup, which is just black suits with hats and glasses, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Some stuff on our knuckles.
Yeah. That's pretty illegible, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Check it out at, you can go to facebook.com/ Cinema Crespo Diso or Instagram. That's probably the best part, actually. Go to the best place. Go to Instagram.com/ Cinema Crespo Diso or on your on the mobile app. Just look up Cinema Crespo Diso and follow us and check those out. Pretty cool pictures, I thought. So it was a good time. Got pretty drunk.
Yeah.
But not sloppy drunk. Almost.
I got
on the verge.
I got drunk enough.
Drunk enough to have a good time.
Exactly. And then sober enough to drive home.
There you go. Cinema Crespo Diso does not recommend any sort of drinking and driving. But hey.
Well, I was sober when I drove.
But he was sober when he drove, so it's cool.
I hadn't had a drink in about an hour and a half.
It's all good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were fine. You're just drinking water. Water and vodka.
No, just water.
For that last hour there.
Just water.
Right.
Actually, no water.
Oh.
I wasn't drinking anything.
Oh, there you go. Just a safe side.
Yeah.
No drinking and driving. So that was a good time. We look forward to next year's Halloween party and whatever sweet promotions are coming up soon. Looks like there's a Thanksgiving thing coming up pretty soon at the Elixir for SBK Live.
Yeah.
We're going to have to bring some canned foods and tell people to bring canned stuff. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I think that's like the week before Thanksgiving. So we'll talk more about that as we get closer, but might as well start this show here. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Got a lot of movie news, had questions, box office weekend review, et cetera, et cetera. But as always, let's start with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Drew, shaking it up, shaking it up. Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. And here we go. Drew is now verifying whether this movie is still on there because Netflix loves to take things off. They'll just be up there for a couple of days. I'm like, oh, you guys didn't watch it fast enough, so we took it off already. You know, you got to give people time to discover these things, you know? So there we go. Oh, Drew's giving us a thumbs up.
All right. This week's Netflix Insta Pick of the Week.
Yes.
Is The Last Temptation of Christ.
Woo, Nelly. Oh, buddy. The Lastest of Temptations.
From 1988.
1988. Why don't you go ahead and read the thing there for the people.
Nikos Kazantzakis' landmark novel comes to life in director Martin Scorsese's moving, spiritual, and highly controversial film that challenges the Christian notion that Jesus, played by Willem Dafoe, was both a man and a divine being. With an all-star cast that includes Harvey Keitel, Barbara Hershey, Harry Dean Stanton, and David Bowie, mm-hmm. the film portrays Jesus as unmistakably human, mm-hmm. susceptible to the desires, doubts, and temptations that all men face.
Yeah. So it's pretty much, you know, what if Jesus was just a man?
Well, he was, if he even existed at all.
And when that movie came out, well, that's not even going to get, that's not a theology. Sure. When the movie came out in the late 80s, was it 88 you said?
Yeah.
Oh, man, people flipped out.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, protest crazy.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. Wow. They are all over good old Martin Scorsese. Who, of course, grew up Catholic upbringing, so of course he's going to have a lot of religious things he's going to work out.
Yeah. I grew up Catholic, too. I can understand the feeling.
So it's a pretty crazy movie, Willem Dafoe as Jesus.
Dude, Willem Dafoe is awesome.
Enjoy that one, people. That's definitely, I mean, it's Martin Scorsese. You can't go wrong with a crazy 80s, I was going to say Eddie Scorsese. Here we go.
Eddie
Last
Scorsese.
Temptation of Christ. Enjoy that Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. You can check that out at chriscrespo.com and all my past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week as well. So if you're ever looking for something to watch on Netflix, I got you covered. Got your recommendations, chriscrespo.com.
chriscrespo.com.
All right, let's get into that box office review. You got the numbers from the box office, Mojo?
Yes, sir. Coming in at number 5 this week.
Woo!
Gravity once again.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
$13.13 million. Oh, total gross of $219.19.
Holy golly.
On a budget of $100.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of money.
Why does, man, your hype man just gets blacker and more female every time.
Was that female-ish?
The last one.
I just went, woo! Just kind of give it a little high pitch. No? I'll try switching it up, maybe.
Just say. Anyway, $219 million. Still in the top five weeks later.
Tag on to that another 207 international dollars.
No, that's 400. It's almost half a billion dollars.
$426 million right there. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Bonafide hit, that Gravity. Great movie.
Fantastic.
We enjoy it very much so.
People should see it as soon as they can.
Check out our review. Check out our review of it from what, like 5 weeks ago?
Yep, 5 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago. Let's see if I can tell you folks exactly. That would be episode 39 when Gravity opened up to $55.5 million. 5 weeks later, made over $10 million in a weekend.
That's
what they call having legs in the industry.
Awesome.
And not in a ZZ Top kind of way.
How many legs?
We're talking
three here?
5 weeks worth at a $55 million opening weekend, and it's at it'll probably get to $250 million total in the U.S. So that's like a 5X opener, five-time multiplier, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's...
5X combo.
It's damn good. It's a 5X combo, and it's damn good because most movies only get like 2 to 3X. And 5X is, that's them legs.
Awesome.
So there you go. Gravity's Got Legs.
And she knows how to use them.
What's the number four movie?
Number four this week, we have Free Birds. That had a weekend gross of $16.2 million. Sam's total budget of $55.
Now, this is not the Lynyrd Skynyrd biopic that people, the whole South have been clamoring for, is it?
No, this is Animated Turkeys.
Animated Turkeys, some sort of Angry Birds ripoff, I guess.
I think they're trying to save the turkeys from getting eaten at Thanksgiving.
$55 million budget for an animated movie isn't that much, not compared to the almost $200 million behemoths of Pixar and DreamWorks.
No, this is from Relativity Media.
From Relativity Media, dipping their toes in that animation market and finding it's kind of brutal.
Yeah, can be rough.
It can be rough. Opening $16 million, that's not too good, considering there's not even that many family movies out there anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like there's competition for them. Mm-mm. So, hey, Free Birds, not going to see you around for much longer. The opposite of Legs, watch this one just fade away. Even though with Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah, it's like a Thanksgiving-themed movie.
I bet you it doesn't hold on.
I'm sure it'll be very popular in syndication on the Netflix as the years go by.
Yeah, maybe, if it's actually good.
It's not going to be good, but people like crap.
I meant to check the Rotten Tomatoes and all that stuff, but I forgot to, so I don't care.
Number three this week.
All right.
Las Vegas. Woo! Had a weekend gross $16.5 million.
De Niro.
Same as the total.
Kevin Kline.
Budget 28.
Some other guys. Who else? Morgan Freeman. And one other guy. Michael Douglas.
Yes.
This is an okay opening weekend. How much did it cost?
28.
That's okay budget. It'll make a little bit of its money. This is all right. This one is where... I mean, the crowd, who's the audience for this? A bunch of 50, 60-year-olds, right?
Old people who want to relive their childhood want to go to Vegas right now.
Or who have grown up watching some of these older actors and, you know,
I've grown up watching most of these older actors.
Yeah, but I mean, they really have. I mean, they've watched them for 30, 40 years. Some of these guys have been acting since the 60s.
Good for them.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, this is the type of thing where these older folks, they're going to... It takes them a few weeks to get out of the house. They're busy. They got things to do.
With the napping and the golf.
What do adults do? I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm not an adult yet.
It's a delicious Heineken, though.
I'll let you know one of these days.
So, Las Vegas looked kind of cheesy. By all reports, it is kind of cheesy. Definitely seems like an easy-breezy type of maybe a good way to spend 90 minutes on airplane.
It's made by CBS Films.
CBS Films, who... take that for what it's worth. They don't have the best track record, I'll tell you that much. So let's move on.
Number two this week, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
Woo, Jackass!
Had,
come on, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Just keep going. Don't stop.
$20.5
million. Woohoo! $25 million. That's what
I'm talking about. Total gross $62.05. Right. On a budget of 15, they've quadrupled their money.
Good for them. That's good for them.
In 2 weeks.
That is good for them. And it's going to make a little bit of money international, so they're good to go.
Yeah. When's the next Jackass installment going to be coming out?
Next actual Jackass-type movie? Probably never. But in Jackass Presents something?
Next movie done with this money.
Bad Grandpa 2, some sort of thing?
Like that.
I don't know. Where's Borat to?
I mean, obviously they're making money. What's going on with this money?
It's going into these people's pockets. And paying for boats and yachts and houses with pools.
And prostitutes and drugs.
And prostitutes and drugs. And yeah, well, you know, where else is that kid going to get his prostitutes and drugs? That 10-year-old.
I don't know.
With that money. That's
a good question.
With that bad grandpa money. That's a lot of that bad grandpa money.
He's going to get a lot of prostitutes and drugs with that.
And it's an all right movie, so, you know.
Yeah,
I guess
it was funny. It was
It was funny enough. We did its job, I guess.
Sure.
All right, let's get into the movie we actually did see this weekend.
That'd be the number one movie
this
week.
That would be. Number one.
Ender's Game had a weekend gross $28 million. Same as the total. Game. Budget Woo! Of $110.
Ender's Game. All right, well, that's all right. First off, numbers-wise, that's a good opening weekend, but not great. It's a $110 million budget. They're definitely going to be looking at that international market. They're going to be hoping... If this movie makes like $75 to $80 million here in America, at least another $160 to $200 international.
Yeah.
And that'll put them into some real profitability after budgeting. Take into account the budget and the production, not the production, the marketing budget, because there's always another $100 million right there, poof, down the drain, and commercials and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, Ender's Game, the movie itself, we checked that out. We saw that this weekend. And what'd you think, Drew?
It was okay.
It was all right. You thought it was okay?
Yeah, it was an okay science fiction movie. I mean, the best part, and I knew this going into it, was going to be the CG.
And the CG was top notch.
Digital Domain, people that did the CG, most of the CG, the visual effects, they actually came in as part producer on the movie.
Yeah.
They put up a bunch of money themselves to make it. So that's a new thing. No one's really done that before, at least on a visual effects company.
Well, it looks freaking gorgeous.
They put a lot of work into it, a lot of money into it, and it does look quite good.
All the entire scene where they're in the quote unquote simulator,
yeah,
of sorts.
Yeah. The simulator. Yeah.
When they're in that thing,
the war simulator.
Yeah, that. All those scenes were really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool looking, and even the battle room stuff.
Yeah,
and yeah, it definitely had a cool aesthetic.
All of it
to it. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's not really light or fluffy or any way. You know, it asks a lot of pretty heavy stuff because all that stuff's in the book. You know, uh-huh. A lot of big questions about the ethics and morals of war and, you know, sending children to war and and then there's a reason why this book was considered unfilmable,
mm-hmm.
which I guess that's a word we can throw out now because between this and Watchmen and Cloud Atlas, I mean,
all have been
Naked
called
Lunch,
unfilmable.
All these things have been called unfilmable,
and they've all been made pretty good movies.
Movies of various degrees of quality.
Yeah,
absolutely. With this one, there's a lot of stuff about like war strategy.
Yeah.
There's some philosophy in there, wartime philosophy and theorizing and a little bit of psychoanalysis and stuff like that. And it definitely seems like a lot of that stuff was it's tough to integrate that into a story and try to make a story remain entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, because now you're delivering all this stuff in dialogue and there's a lot of exposition.
All that stuff did seem kind of stifled. It sounds like they were just trying to cut to the core of it to get it across.
Yeah, it's a little clunky. Like characters kept saying things very, very in a heavy-handed way to make sure that they were getting their points across. But they were trying to get something across, so it wasn't just like a totally fluffy type thing. You know, they were going for something there, and that was good. I was definitely entertained by it.
Yeah.
And I thought I enjoyed the acting. The Asa Butter something. I don't know what his name is. Asa Butterfield?
If you say so.
Asa Buttersmith?
Sure, that's his name.
Asa Butternuts.
Butternut Squash.
The dude from Hugo. Reteaming.
Yeah. Oh, that's totally him. You're
reteaming
right.
With his Hugo co-star, Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir Ben was awesome in this, as always.
Ben was good. Harrison Ford was good.
Harrison Ford. I don't know. Harrison Ford seemed a little flat sometimes.
He always seems a little flat sometimes.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's what he does. But and this one, he actually seems to care a little bit in some ways, maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, no.
Asa Buttersnatch. Asa Butterfield. That's right the first time.
Oh, there we go.
Asa Butterfield played Ender Wigan. I thought he did good. And the girl from True Grit, Haley Stein.
Yeah, actually,
Steinfeld.
I thought Asa was the best actor of all the kids, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, they picked a good one. English kid.
No.
English chap. What else was he in? The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Didn't see it.
The Wolfman. I don't remember him in The Wolfman.
Didn't see it.
Nanny McPhee Returns.
Didn't see it.
Son of Rambo. I never saw that one. It's supposed to be pretty good. You ever see that one? Kids pretend to be Rambo.
I don't. I mean, I remember hearing a lot about it, but I don't remember if I saw it or not.
Well, Ace was good in this. So I would say it, I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I definitely say this is definitely worth checking out. Matinee style, probably. If not, you know, it's definitely a Redboxy type thing. But yeah, it'd be worth seeing in a theater, I think.
I think it'd be worth seeing. Just
like if you like sci-fi and stuff.
Yeah, and just for the visual effects, too. Seeing that on the big screen was, like I said, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
It was really pretty.
Yeah, so there you go. Ender's Game. We'll definitely be talking a little bit more about Ender's Game in the second half of the show in relation to the author of the novel.
Yes.
Orson Scott Card.
Yes.
And how he's an insane bigot.
Awesome.
And there's stuff tangential to that related to this movie.
Sweet.
So we'll get into that in the second half of the show.
I love me some insane bigots.
Insane bigotry. But before we even get to there, let's talk about some of the new movies coming out this week. There's a lot of DVDs coming out this week. It's one of those things. No, you know what I mean? What's that crazy face all about? Crazy face.
There's some this
crazy face Cogburn.
This thing on Box Office Mojo came up about Thor 2 opening overseas.
What did it say?
Thor 2 opens to $109.4 million overseas.
Woo! When's that one dated?
The 3rd at 9:08 a.m. Pacific time.
The 3rd. Oh, why don't you click on that and see what it says, first paragraph or so.
Blah blah blah. Thor: The Dark World. Blah blah blah.
You wrote that. Blah,
worldwide,
blah, blah.
$109.4 million. Yeah.
Does it say how many territories it opened in, or if there's any left to be? Does it say early on? Just 109.
Nope. Just opening? Said $109 million.
Well, all these Marvel movies make a ton of money overseas, so that shouldn't be a surprise. And of course, they're going to get it a little earlier because piracy is a bigger deal in other markets than it is in America. Another topic we will be getting into in the Crespo Dome.
Sweet.
But first, movies come out on DVD this week. The Hobbit, the extended edition. So
longer?
So if you didn't think The Hobbit was long and boring enough, here's the extended edition. I hope there's two more songs about mountains. You know what I'm talking about? When the dwarves sing about mountains. They stopped the movie to sing a song about a mountain.
Sure.
You don't remember that?
No.
It's like... No, it's in all the trailers. White House Down comes out on DVD. White House Down. I thought the better of between that and Olympus Has Fallen, the better of the two, but apparently a lot of people think Olympus Has Fallen is better, which surprises me.
Never saw Olympus Has Fallen, and I really liked Jamie Foxx's Chrome Rocket Launcher.
The Chrome Rocket Launcher was fun. I think it's a more fun, ridiculous movie. Olympus Has Fallen was very... a little too self-serious, and
when you're making a movie like that, you can't be serious.
Yeah, it's not as enjoyable, I thought. So White House Down, what I think is the better of the two, come out on DVD. Parkland, a movie about the JFK assassination that day. Parkland is the name of the hospital where he was taken to, and it has Paul Giamatti as Zapruder.
Sweet.
Shooting that Zapruder film.
Yeah.
And apparently it's not a very good movie.
Sweet.
Grown Ups 2 comes out on DVD.
Next.
Speaking of not very good, As I Lay Dying is James Franco, his adaptation of the novel As I Lay Dying, which is a
favorite metal band.
It's also a metal band, but it's a book about a funeral procession.
Sweet.
And a Brian De Palma movie, Passion, where
Passion
with it's a remake of a French movie, I think, and it's with what's your name? Noomi Rapace, the girl with the dragon tattoo, the original one, yeah, and then she was in Sherlock Holmes 2. Noomi Rapace, something like that. And who's the other? Oh, I think Rachel McAdams is in it as well. I think it's her. I can't remember. But it's a Brian De Palma movie. I wanted to see it, but it had one of those limited theatrical releases, never played here in this area. So
oh, shucks.
Get a chance to see now that it's on the DVD. So there you go. Those are all your new movies coming out on DVD. Now, what's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this week, we have Thor: The Dark World, which obviously just opened up to $109 million overseas.
God damn, it's not
money. So...
Yeah, well,
I don't know. We'll see. It's got Kirk Sedgwick. I mean, the more I see trailers of it, the more interested I am in it.
The guy who directed it is this dude, Alan Taylor.
Yes,
who he's done mostly television since the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Some pretty good television. The most recent show he's been on.
Yes,
worked on. He's directed at least 6 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Well, then he just directed 6 1-hour movies that are pretty akin to Thor.
And they're pretty good. So we'll see how he does with Thor. Bigger budget, bigger thing, bigger, more cinematic. We'll see.
It still all looks the same. It's still fantasy nonsense.
And then apparently somehow he turned that into... I guess he has the right agent. I don't know what he got going on. But it looks like he might have landed the gig for the new Terminator movie.
Who, Hemi? Chris Hemsworth?
No. Alan Taylor.
Alan Taylor? Oh, really?
Alan Taylor, the director. The TV guy. Awesome. Who's now getting to the cinemas.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Speaking of TV guys making Marvel movies, if you go see Thor in 3D, apparently they will show you 5 minutes of Captain America Winter Soldier before, like, as a preview. Either as a preview or at the end of the movie. I think it's as a preview. So if you go see in 3D, you see 5 minutes of Captain America, which that is directed by the guys behind, I think some guys directed Community episodes?
I mean, I want to see 5 minutes of this Captain America movie, but I don't want to see Thor in 3D.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it. I'll just wait to see Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a... Captain America looks cool, but I don't want to see Thor in 3 freaking D.
No, exactly.
Screw that 3D, yo. Gonna see in the 2Ds.
It's bullshit.
I gotta see Loki in more 3D. Come on. Character's 2D no matter what. Anyway. So we got Thor, the, what was it again? The Dark World?
Yeah.
Or just Dark World? Is it Thor Dark World?
The Dark World.
The Dark World. Yes. All right. Spoiler alert. Thor is an idiot.
Yes, he is.
Moving on.
He's a dumb Norse god.
What else is coming out?
The Book Thief. It's Nazis.
Yes, good old books. Whenever you bring out a movie about World War II and Nazis and books, you're expecting some sort of award baitish type stuff.
Well,
based on some sort of novel about some sort of girl who, say, stole books from the Nazis who stole books.
Sweet.
It's all about
stealing their books back.
Screw them Nazis, right?
Correct.
Who's going to defend them? Exactly.
Nobody.
Losers.
Crappy Nazis. Anyway.
So, yeah, I'm not really going to go see that.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah.
No. We'll probably go see... We'll see Thor. I mean, we're definitely going to see Thor, because that's what the people expect. And who knows? It might be good.
It might be.
It might actually be good.
I doubt it, but it might be.
And then we're going to have to see 12 Years a Slave at some point this week.
Yes.
It's played at the Enzion Theater. We weren't trying to see it this weekend, but it was sold out. Plus, Drew had some things to do. So, we'll try to see it this weekend. Or this week. Right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
The Schindler's List.
If at all possible.
The Schindler's List of Slavery Movies is what they call it.
Awesome. Are there going to be Negroes hiding in shit?
Maybe. That might be one of the nicer scenes.
I don't really want to see that
might
again.
Be one of the. That might be one of the calmer, more serene scenes of 12 Years a Slave.
Awesome.
Yes, fantastic. All right, so listen, we got a. I got a special Crespo Disco here.
Special,
yeah. I'm not
how
just,
special.
Instead of just playing, all right. Here's what I did. All right, so you know how I got with the intros.
Yeah.
Okay. There's all the movie quotes that I throw in there that I'm always now doing looking for movie quotes. So I'm on the YouTube. And I'm looking for movie quotes, and I find one video that one person put together that's like 100 movie threats.
Okay.
And it was like it's like an 11-minute long video and just a bunch of different stuff put together. And I didn't count. I don't know if it's really 100 or not. I'm going to assume that it is really 100 movie quotes. So I'm screwing around. I'm looking for all these movie quotes. And while I'm doing that, I'm listening to the Tron Legacy soundtrack, Daft Punk, all that. And at some point I realize as I'm stopping, I'm watching this 11-minute video and the Tron music is playing. I'm like, oh, this is actually kind of cool.
So you just put it together.
So I just put it together.
Did a mashup and giving it to people.
So I did a little mashup. I didn't even work that hard at it. I just threw four songs in there. I think it's like four songs.
DJ Chris Crespo in the house.
And so here's 100 movie threats with some Tron in the background to promote. And it is kind of random how the music is thrown in there. So there will be times when the music like matches up with what's happening. That's totally random happenstance. Enjoy it for the randomness that it is. I didn't work on that. It just so happened that it came out that way.
Awesome.
So hope you guys.
Thanks, happenstance.
Happenstance is cool. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
All right. So here you go, guys. Enjoy. Oh, by the way, it's I don't know how you're listening to this show. Like maybe on speakers or in your car. If other people can hear it, basically I'm just saying watch out.
Because it's threatening.
A lot of cussing. A lot of cussing, a lot of threatening, a lot of violent imagery being spoken about. So here we go. 100 Greatest Movie Insults and Tron Legacy mashup. Crespo, let's go first. Enjoy.
You tell him! You tell him I'm coming! Tell him I'm fucking coming!
I'm going to bring the whole fucking diseased, corrupt temple down on your head. It's got to be biblical.
I got something planned for your wife and kid that they ain't never going to forget. They ain't never going to forget it. Neither will you, counselor.
You're there in 30 minutes where I find you, Jerry, and I shoot you, and I shoot your fucking wife, and I shoot all your little fucking children, and I shoot them all in the back of their little fucking heads. You got it?
I only tell you one time. Don't fuck me, Tony. Don't you ever try to fuck me.
From now on, you better be looking behind you when you walk. Because one day you're going to get a bullet in your back.
You die first, get it? Your friends might get me in a rush, but not before I make your head into a canoe. You understand me?
You better drop that blade, or you won't believe what happens next, even while it's happening.
I'm giving you a choice. Either put on these glasses or start eating that trash can.
Whatever you're reaching for better be a sandwich, because you're going to have to eat it.
Fuck me, buddy. I'll kick your ass so hard you'll have to unbutton your collar to shit.
It's not what you think.
You fuck people out of money and get away with it.
You can't talk.
Hey, you fat Irish prick. You put my fucking money to sleep. You go get my money or I'll put your fucking brain to sleep.
I'm gonna give you 3 seconds. Exactly 3 fucking seconds to wipe that stupid looking grin off your face or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull fuck you.
I am 2 seconds from being on you like white on rice and a glass of milk and a paper plate in a snowstorm. I will put my foot so far up your ass the water on my knee will quench your thirst.
I'll hit you so hard the face will be shit in the teeth.
You stay out of my way, there'll be no problem. But if you toy with me, I'll burn you so bad you'll wish you died as a child.
You and that other dummy better start getting more personally involved in your work, or I'm gonna stab you through the heart with a fucking pencil. Do you understand me?
You make one more drug deal, and I'll forget your grandmother was so nice to me. I'll cut your fucking nuts off. You understand that?
And tomorrow, we come back and we cut off your Johnson.
Excuse me?
I said we cut off your Johnson!
Now, what you gonna do about that? You gonna stop us? You gonna look pretty funny trying to eat corn on a cob with no fucking teeth.
I don't give a damn who you are. This is America, Jack. Now you say one more word about Lisa here, and I'm gonna break my foot off in your royal ass.
So you tell me that's that before I beat the hell from you.
I swear my fucking mother, if you touch her again, you're dead! Get this through your head, you Jew motherfucker, you! You only exist out here because of me! Your fucking warrant don't ever go over my fucking head again, you motherfucker, you!
Now, if I ever see you here again, you die just like that.
The price you pay for bringing up either my Chinese or American heritage as a negative is, I collect your fucking head. Just like this fucker here. Now, if any of you sons of bitches got anything else to say, now's the fucking time!
Go ahead. Make my day.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
Shut that cunt's mouth or I'll come over there and fuck start her head.
Listen, asshole.
No, you listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
I'll rip out your eyes and piss on your brain.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine!
You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and check down your neck!
I'm gonna rip the eyes out of your head and piss in your dead skull! You fucked with the wrong Marine!
I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses, Luxley!
I'm gonna cut your heart out with a spoon!
I'm gonna rip your fucking spine out, I swear to God.
You see this knife? I'm gonna teach you to speak English with this fucking knife!
I am gonna send you to a deep, dark place, and I am gonna have fun doing it!
I'll send you straight to hell, fucker!
I'll tear your fucking heart out, girl!
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too! Darling, light of my life, I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in.
I'm gonna punch you in the ovary. That's what I'm gonna do. Straight shot.
Ooh, ow.
Right to the baby maker.
I'm gonna check the front of my car. If it smells like ass, I'm gonna beat you like a runaway slave.
I'm gonna hit you so hard, your children will be born bruised.
I'll hit you so hard, I'll kill your whole family.
I'm gonna hit you so hard, it'll make your ancestors dizzy.
I'm gonna hit you so hard, when you wake up, your clothes are gonna be out of stock.
You get sarcastic with me again, and I will stuff so much cotton wool down your fucking throat, it'll come out your ass like the wee tail on a Playboy bunny.
And if you betray us, I'll rip your fucking balls off and stuff them up your ass so that the next time you shit, you'll shit all over your balls, got it?
You're incapable of running this shit. Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
Move those hands, I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. You understand me?
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
Put a sock on it, boy. Or else you'll be out of here like shit through a goose.
One more peep out of you, Weisenheimer, and I'll butter your necktie.
Shut up, Chip, or I'll go ape shit on your ass.
I'm gonna scissor kick you in the back of the head.
And I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
I must break you.
Hey, buddy, ever heard of a lion?
Hey, have you ever been dragged to the sidewalk and beaten until you...
pissed blood!
My boyfriend's gonna fuck you up. And then after that, while he's fucking up your fucking gay uncle over there, I'm gonna fucking cut off your cock and mail it to your mother, you fucking faggot bitch.
Let me tell you something, Pandeo. You pull any of your crazy shit with us, you flash a piece out on the lanes, I'll take it away from you and stick it up your ass and pull the fucking trigger till it goes click.
What are you going to shoot us all?
Always. Just you.
You're a funny guy, Sally. I like you. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
Oh, that's funny. You're going to look funnier sucking my dick with no teeth.
Don't you get smart with me, you little prick. I will shit in you.
I will see to it you spend the next 10 years in prison getting ass fucked. And if the case is thrown out because my arrest was too violent, I will personally hire men to ass fuck you for the next 10 years. So if you're an ass fucking fan, you go ahead and mouth off.
I will smash your face into a car windshield and then take your mother, Dorothy Mantooth, out for a nice seafood dinner and never call her again.
I'm gonna shove one of those fake hearing devices so far up your ass, you can hear the sound of your small intestine as it produces shit!
Listen up, you little spazoids! I know where you live and I've seen where you sleep. I swear to everything holy that your mothers will cry when they see what I've done to you!
You bomb me with one more can cake and I'll snap off your cojones and boil the motor oil!
You keep looking at me, I'm gonna put you in the fucking ground, I promise you!
I got the muscle to shove enough of this factory so far up your stupid wop ass that you'll shit snow for a year.
Well, now go away or I shall taunt you a second time!
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Don't you ever try and fucking run on us. Because I got six little friends, and they can all run faster than you can.
I want you to find this Nancy boy, Elliot Ness. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground. I want to go to the middle of the night. I want to piss out his ass.
Any son of a bitch takes a shot at me, not only gonna kill him, I'm gonna kill his wife, all his friends, burn his damn house down.
I can lay you out and fill your mouth with your mother's feces, or we can talk.
I know you know where they are, so tell me. Before I do some damage, you won't walk away from.
Listen to me, Anthony. I got your head in a fucking vice. I'll squash your fucking head like a grapefruit if you don't give me a name.
Tell me where John is and I'll finish you quick. I promise you won't have to find out what your left ball tastes like.
I'm gonna ask you one last goddamn time. If you still respectfully refuse, I'm calling the bear to you. He's gonna take that big bat of his, and he's gonna beat your ass to death with it.
If you don't do it convincingly, I'd take you out back, and I'd run my fucking tractor over your head the rest of the day.
In a few minutes, I'm gonna pull out some of your fingernails, and I'm gonna leave you to think about it. And later, I'll come back, and I'll slash your eyeballs. I'll pour gasoline in your eyes from time to time just to keep it from passing out.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I ain't do with you by damn sight. I'ma get medieval on your ass.
I'll burn his head with a blowtorch.
And smash his face with an iron.
First thing I'm gonna do is bite off every one of these little fingers, one at a time.
Do you fly, Johnny?
No.
You keep that in mind when you look at her, because if your dick jumps out of your pants, you jump out of this plane.
And if you come near my family again, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Well, excuse me, but fuck you, Derek.
If you come near Danny again, I will feed you your fucking heart, Cameron.
Let me ask your wife a couple of questions, okay? You move. You make one sound. I'll snatch the life right out of you, you understand?
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
I will fucking destroy you. I will make it my mission in life.
I will rain down in a godly fucking firestorm upon you. I am talking scorched earth, motherfucker. I will massacre you. I will fuck you up.
One night I'm going to come to you inside of your house, wherever you're sleeping, and I'm going to cut your throat.
If I were you, I'd get in that fucking car and I'd get out of here, man. I'd gather them goonies and get rid of you fucking cool.
You just fucked with the wrong guy.
Don't push it. Don't push it. I'll give you a war you won't believe. Let it go. Let it go. You're ghosting us, motherfucker.
world. You give up resistance one more time, I'll bleed you. Real quiet. Leave you here. Got that?
I can take that to the bank.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To the blood bank.
Welcome to the Questo Game.
Welcome back to the second half. I did it again. Welcome back to.
We're back to the second half because we've been here before, Chris.
Welcome back to episode 43. We are starting the second half of the show. It is me, Christopher Crespo. How's it going with Drew Cogburn, Drew?
It's going.
Hope you all enjoy the 10 plus minutes of horrible threats and insults and lots of cussing. And my favorite one is in the middle when Schwarzenegger from Running Man threatens to... Says, I hope you leave enough room in your stomach for my fist. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
So let's get some plugs out of the way. I already mentioned ChrisCrespo.com. You can go there for reviews and stuff like that. You can get Cinema Crespediso at ChrisCrespo.com. You can also get Cinema Crespediso at iTunes, the iTunes store.
iTunes.
Where it's free.
Gratis.
Yeah, right? Come on. Not many things in life are free.
This is.
But this is. You can also get us on Stitcher Radio, aircheck.us. And however you get your podcasts, go ahead and check us out. Twitter, I am on Twitter, at I am Chris Crespo. Tweet me, please. Drew is...
at antihero419.
And on Instagram, also antihero419. And then, of course, facebook.com/cinemacrespediso and instagram.com/cinemacrespediso. Woo! So, they released a trailer for what looks like what might be the best Batman movie ever made. And no, I'm not talking about Superman vs. Batman. I'm sorry, guys. Looks like the best Batman movie is not going to be the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. It ain't even going to be the Tim Burton Batman movie. It looks like the best one is going to be the Lego movie.
Seriously, have you seen this trailer?
Guys, check out. Just pause the show real quick and go to YouTube and check out the trailer for the Lego movie. Yes, as in the Lego the toys. Legoland the theme park. Legos. The Lego movie, check it out. We'll be here waiting for you when you get back. All right, and go. So how's it going, Drew?
It's going, man. That trailer was awesome. I hope they're having fun watching.
What are you drinking over there? What is
it's,
that?
It's some Soda Shack.
Soda Shack?
We talked about this before.
Yeah, so we talked about Soda Shack before.
Yeah.
What flavor Soda Shack is that?
This is the orange cream soda.
Orange, you love that orange,
dude. It's good. The orange cream soda is freaking amazing.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that Lego trailer, the Lego movie trailer. Seriously. Doesn't that look ridiculous? Looks really funny. Did you see, Drew, did you see Abraham Lincoln fly away on his rocket chair?
Yes.
On his monument rocket chair?
Yes.
Will Arnett as Batman seems hysterical. Looks like it's going to be great. And it's from the team of Lord and Miller. I think it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller. It might be Chris Lord and Phil Miller, but, you know, doesn't matter. They're a team. The guys that did the original Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And I think they did some sort of TV show that people like. But I can't remember which one. Undeclared? No, I don't think so. Anyway, so this looks great. Looking forward to it. I think it comes out sometime early next year. So we're going to be all over that one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Definitely looking forward to that. Yeah. All right, so hey, we got some movie news. I got, let me see here. I got like about four stories here. I actually got two. My first two stories are kind of related. Some interesting stuff I thought I'd bring to the table for people. This is from a website called if.com.au, and it's for a magazine called, I think it's IF. I don't know if it's IF or IF. It might be IF magazine. But anyway, if.com.au. What does the AU stand for, Drew?
I have no idea.
.com.au?
.com.au? It should be just .au?
if.com.au is the website.
Australia.
Australia! This article from earlier in the week says, Hollywood rails against movie piracy in Oz.
Ooh.
So when we're talking about movie piracy, often people are thinking about the guys on the street in New York or the dudes at the barbershop or, you know, your friends just downloading movies off of, off the interwebs and burn for you on DVD. But in the grand scheme, that kind of movie piracy, while a concern to the movie industry... here in America, not that big of a deal.
Really?
Yeah. The money being lost isn't being lost here in America. that's being lost overseas. Apparently, Australia has become one of the bigger culprits. So here we go. This article from if.com.au, written by Don Groves. Just put a couple pieces here. U.S. studios have named Australia among the world's, quote, most notorious marketplaces for the distribution of illegal film and television shows, end quote. The MPAA has accused Australian authorities of showing no interest in enforcing copyright laws at one market in Victoria where piracy is allegedly prevalent. So apparently they're coming down on Australia, on the entire country.
But specifically...
for one market, specifically in one city.
Interesting. Must be a big market.
Other countries on the list include the Ukraine, Canada, China, Indonesia, Ireland, Brazil, Russia, Thailand, Mexico, and India. This is where the MPAA feel like, this is where the countries that they're losing their money in piracy. So not America. They don't want it happening in America. That's not where they're focusing everything. And this one, this article here is focused on Australia. The MPAA cited the Caribbean Gardens and Markets in Scoresby, Victoria as a piracy black spot. So our Australian listeners, the Caribbean Garden and Markets, that's where you go for your pirated movies, fellas.
Sweet.
There are between 10 to 20 individual market sellers offering counterfeit Region 1 and 2 DVDs, together with other sellers offering burnt DVDs of recently released titles. The total number of sellers, while substantially reduced from the mid-2000s, has increased recently due to a lack of enforcement. So they're trying to call out Australia and be like, yo, step up your game. Oh, this is weird. Check this out. A suburban paper in Victoria, the Knox Leader, earlier this month described the Caribbean market as a, quote, mecca for illegal goods, including chop chop tobacco, pirated DVDs, and counterfeit designer sunglasses and handbags, end quote.
What tobacco?
Chop chop tobacco.
What the F is chop chop tobacco?
Why don't you, you got a computer there, why don't you Google chop chop tobacco and see what the hell that's all about? Because apparently, that's some illegal shit, and they're selling it at the Caribbean Gardens and Markets in Scoresby, Victoria. And if I want me some chop chop tobacco and I'm in Australia, in Victoria, I know where to go now. Thank you, if.com.au and the Knox Leader. While Drew's looking up chop chop tobacco, just keep reading this article here. The papers. What?
All right. Chop chop is also known as loose tobacco. It's just an Australian term for cheap illegal tobacco.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So they're just getting their cigarettes without, you know, paying taxes and whatnot.
Oh, all right. So then she preferred a consumer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. The paper said enforcement does not appear to be a high priority for authorities who say they know illegal goods are being openly traded at markets across Melbourne. So, huge piracy problem in Australia.
It's awesome. So what you're saying is we need to go to Australia for like a week.
And pick up on all the DVDs that we need, all our illegal DVDs.
Yes.
In Victoria.
But wait, but the region the 1 and 2, Gardens. Is that...
That's us. We're one. We're region one.
We're region one?
Yeah.
Sweet. We're number one.
The same guy a couple days later for the same website wrote an article called Netflix Causes Angst in Oz.
What? Angst in Oz?
This is how they're connected. Check this out. I've never even heard of this before. The U.S. streaming giant Netflix is believed to have many thousands of subscribers in Australia.
Uh-huh.
Despite a geo-block, which is supposed to prevent Australians from accessing the service.
So are they not paying for it?
No, they're paying for it. But they're not even supposed to be paying for it.
Why can't they have it?
It's part of a deal with the major cables provider in Australia is a company called Foxtel.
Uh-huh.
Foxtel. And they're trying to get their subscribers back up. They're trying to get back up over 30% of the population. They're struggling. And part of the thing is they have a deal for Netflix to not enter the Australian market.
Oh, a non-compete policy?
They
like,
also feel...
Like, yo, here's some money. Just stay out of our market for a little while.
There's also some speculation that they're thinking Netflix won't enter the market because it won't be profitable for them to do so for 3 to 5 years because of copyright issues and whatnot. But they put here that even though there is this geo-block on Australia, some Australian pay TV executives theorize that Netflix has between 100,000 and 150,000 subscribers who live in Australia and circumvent the geo-block by using a virtual private network, the VPN.
Yeah.
which can show a computer's location as being based in the United States. By this means, Netflix has the potential to earn considerable revenues from Australia with zero cost for content marketing management. Numerous websites offer instructions on how to set up an account in Australia with streaming sites such as Netflix, Hulu, and BBC iPlayer.
Nice.
I want to get me some BBC iPlayer, yo.
Hell yeah.
We need a VPN to set us up, make it seem like we're from over there.
We need some tech-savvy people.
The executives believe Netflix has chosen not to enter Australia thus far due to the relatively small market size, blah, blah, blah. Foxtel is believed to have made representations to the U.S. majors and perhaps directly with Netflix to try to deter Netflix from accepting Australian credit cards and thus limiting the number of local subscribers. In response to questions posed by the magazine, Netflix says, quote, "We don't comment on speculation. We also haven't announced any plans to enter Australia."
There we go. They're just claiming ignorance.
So, Australians can't get Netflix. They can't get Hulu. They can't get a lot of this programming that they want.
Oh, they can.
At the illegal market.
Yes.
Right. So that's why the illegal market is there. Actually pretty...
Oh boy. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Juice the Cogburn. Juice the Cogburn. Versus the world. Versus the world. Gotta come up with, like, live theme songs.
Every time?
Every time.
Every time it's going to be different.
Here we go. A little bit of Juice the Cogburn versus the world.
Coming out of your magic hat.
Coming out of the magic hat. You like that?
I did.
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
I saw the tie, but...
You saw the tie.
Not the questions.
But you didn't see the questions. This week's Juice the Cogburn versus the world sparring round. We need to get a guest in here for you, buddy.
Seriously.
You've been sparring quite a bit.
What the F?
Need to get... what are you at?
I'm 8-7.
8-7-1. Pretty good. You're at over 500. This one should be a pretty easy, pretty quick game. It's called Save the Date. We played this before. I'll tell you the movie. You tell me the year it was released.
Oh, terrible. I'm terrible at this.
Let's find out. Let's see how terrible you are. Let's get through these pretty quickly. Number one, Reservoir Dogs.
92.
That is correct. See? So you're terrible. Number two, Ghost Dad.
89.
Ooh, 1990. So close. Number three, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
56.
Ooh, 1948. Number four, Enter the Dragon.
71.
73. Aye, you're so close on these. Number five, The Departed.
What's that? 2000. No, God. Seven?
Oh, 2006. One and four so far out of the first five. Here we go. Boogie Nights.
2000.
97.
Damn.
The Godfather Part 2.
91?
The Godfather Part 2? No, 74.
Oh, man, wow.
I don't know what you were thinking.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking about either.
Number three for your second set, Rosemary's Baby.
74? 68. Ah, God, I'm so terrible at this. Told you I was terrible at this.
Home Alone.
91. 1990.
And finally, The Lost World, : Jurassic Park.
93. 97.
So you got one right out of the 10.
Yep.
Alright, I guess you were pretty bad at this.
I told you I was.
The tiebreaker would have been, if we had a guess just in case, how much cash money did the Blues Brothers 2000 make at the U.S. box office?
30 million.
14.
Ouch.
Bombsville. So there you go. Just a guy versus the world. Poor showing. That's all right.
It's terrible.
Got out of there. So back to the Netflix thing in Australia. Want to read at least one of these comments. There's some comments in the articles from actual Australians. And they point out why maybe there's a piracy problem.
Okay.
All right. So pay attention, business types. I am one of those people who subscribes to a number of U.S. streaming services. Vudu, Hulu, Netflix, U.S. iTunes, including Australian iTunes and Spotify. In addition to the above, I also subscribe to Foxtel at $120 a month. For this, I get a ridiculous number of repeats, overpriced VOD, and little else. Like most Australian consumers, I know I pay through the nose for most items. cars, content, bandwidth. Yeah, because Australia, you know, where they're located in the world, everything costs so much money to get them stuff, right? It's all about supply and demand and all that.
Yeah.
So to read that Foxtel executives have made representations to U.S. majors to try to deter distributors accepting Australian credit cards really makes my blood boil. The reality is that Foxtel is making these approaches to protect its monopoly. Times are changing. The way we consume content has undergone a change. Perhaps it's time to view piracy as a competitor. And rather than content creators feeling threatened, embrace the marketplace and become competitive? I don't know. How does a content creator become competitive in the piracy market? Putting out pirate copies of your own stuff?
Yes. You start producing.
That's what that one
the
person
pirate
wants
product.
To do.
Produce the pirate product.
Someone points out that Americans are lucky in this department in how we don't have geoblocks. Geoblocks should be outlawed. Consumers should be able to access and pay for content from the company they're choosing, regardless of what country it resides in. I think that's fair, right?
Sure.
Why should we be able to get Australian services, and why can't Australian get American services?
I don't know, because the Australian people... Somebody over there is like, no.
No. Like, nope. Protectionism.
Something like that.
Isolationism.
Sure.
Protect our interests.
Protect our isolation.
Anyway. Sorry. Sorry, Australians. Sorry you guys have it so bad. The Wrap put out an article called Orson Scott Card won't make squat from Ender's Game box office.
Uh-huh. Because?
Because his deal ran out with them like 10 years ago.
Nice.
He's been trying, obviously been trying to make this into a movie since the 80s, since the book was written.
Yeah.
10 years ago, he stopped like being an active producer on it. He let other people, pick up the torch. So based on the current deal now for Ender's Game, he's not getting any money at all. Why is that even an issue? Well, here we go. Progressive people of the world, go ahead and see Ender's Game this weekend with a clear conscience. Orson Scott Card won't see a penny of your movie ticket money. Card's volume of anti-gay vitriol have sparked an Ender's Game movie boycott movement that spanned multiple organizations, cities, and social platforms. The common goal to prevent the openly homophobic author from pocketing profits at the hands of enlightened moviegoers. But he ain't gonna make no money.
So it's
not
okay.
Off the movie.
So it's okay to see it.
But
don't read it.
That's the thing.
Obviously.
Plus, he still makes money on the book. And Card still profits handsomely from the novel, perched at the top of the latest New York Times bestsellers list for paperback mass market fiction.
Oh, it's a great book. It's supposed to be written by a bigot.
Right, yeah. And the movie itself doesn't have any of that bigotry in it.
No.
As a matter of fact, it's more about... Ender Wiggins is a different person. He's a third. You know, it's all this whole thing about the two-child rule, and he's a third. He's looked down upon by other people and misapproved his self-worth despite not being like the others. It's very much... the character could even be embraced by the gay community.
Yeah, could be.
But that would be much to Orson Scott Card's chagrin. And even though he's not making any money on the movie, that hasn't stopped Card from promoting the film on his website. This despite the fact that everyone involved with the movie, including the filmmakers and even Harrison Ford, have made great pains to distance themselves from Card and his drumbeat of anti-gay rants. Summit Lionsgate, which paid for less than 20% of the film, has long been recognized as an industry leader in recognizing same-sex partners and unions and promoting workplace diversity. And this whole thing was led by... a group called Geeks Out, which collected more than 11,000 pledges to boycott the movie, and has put together Skip Ender's Game events in New York, Toronto, Chicago, Orlando, Dallas, Austin, San Francisco, and Seattle. They said, quote, "Queer geeks have far better things to do with our time and money than line up to profit someone who spent decades advancing an anti-gay agenda that damages and demeans the LGBT community." Organization board member... Jono Jarrett told the rap. So they don't want the guy to make any money, but he's not directly off the movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously,
now people have become more interested in the book.
Well, because the movie's out,
right.
People are like, "Hey, this was a book. Ooh, interesting. Maybe I'll be cool and read the book too."
Be cool and read the book.
I don't know.
Would someone be cool by reading the book?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, geek culture is cool these days.
Geek culture is cool. Yeah. So there you go. If you were concerned about that at all, feel free to see the movie and not worry about You know, if that was a concern. I don't think a lot of people were too concerned with it. Remember last week, Drew, we talked about this NC-17 movie playing in a theater in New York City?
Yes.
And they were going to allow...
kids to go see it.
Kids to go see it if they wanted to go see it?
Yes.
Despite all the lesbian sex scenes.
Uh-huh.
You know the Cinemark brand of movie theaters? Cinemark breaks its NC-17 ban for blue is the warmest color.
Oh, really? The whole company?
The whole... Sort of. Here you go. This is from the Hollywood Reporter. Texas-based Multiplane allows one theater in Illinois the opportunity to screen the steamy teen romance. Texas-based movie cheater Thane Cinemark is breaking its own rule of prohibiting NC-17 films and will allow the Century 12 in Evanston, Illinois to show the Palme d'Or winning Blue is the Warmest Color. So are Illinois listeners. Evanston, is that close to Chicago?
No idea.
We got Chicago listeners. If you're in Illinois and you're close to Evanston, you have your chance now to go to Cinemark and see French lesbian action. There you go. A Cinemark rep tells the Evanston Patch that the company is showing an NC-17 film for the first time as part of a, quote, one theater test, and that the policy change does not extend to Cinemark's 300 theaters across the country. Quote, it just happens to be the right movie at the right time, the rep said. The Century 12 manager, the guy that runs the specific theater, he says the exception came as a result of talks he had with the corporate head office. He said, quote, this is in part in response to our concerns from residents that we were not showing enough art movies.
So they're going to give them this.
So they're going to go all out. I mean, there's plenty of art movies that get made and released. But they're going to go all out and get one of the NC-17 ones out there for them. So, in this one theater in Evanston, Illinois.
Wow. I don't think Evanston knows what it's about to get.
Well, hope you guys do now. Enjoy. It's going to be a lot of fun. And here we go. I got one last story for you guys. No wiggle room. Star Wars Episode 7 must open in 2015.
It has to?
Yes. There was this little, I guess it was a rumor of sorts, or there was talk about how J.J. Abrams and whoever he's writing the script with, mm-hmm. they took over writing duties from someone else. Okay. Someone else was writing the script and they took it over.
They're like, you're a freaking idiot.
Yeah, they're like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
We got to do this. And then apparently they're like, all right, now this thing isn't coming out to 2016. We need the extra time.
Yeah.
And when that announcement came out, people all over the internet were like, well, this is great. This is, for once, someone cares story in the creative process and try to get something right. Instead of just rushing it out there.
Uh-huh.
Well, hold your horses on that, because the Hollywood Reporter reports that, according to producer Kathleen Kennedy and most of the film's creative team, has asked Disney to push the release of 2016, studio CEO Robert Iger is adamant that Episode 7 will not budge. So this is because they have this whole plan. It's not just Episode 7.
There's
many, many movies coming out, and they have a timeline.
Not only many, many movies, but I'm sure.
Side deals, video games.
Theme parks.
So much stuff.
Dude, Disney owns Star Wars. How long until we can go to, the bar on Hoth?
When they start doing stuff like Hoth. That, right? They're making the Avatar world. Yeah, make me a Star Wars world.
Exactly.
That's what Universal Studios is doing.
I want the cantina.
The thing is, Disney spent $4 billion on Star Wars, so they can't now just like be willy-nilly with the release dates and say, oh, I guess we're going to push this back a year. It's got to come out. They set the schedule. It's got to come out.
Has to.
So now Star Wars Episode 7, they have to, whatever creative problems they have to push through them and try to put out the best movie possible on this time frame that Disney has given them.
That sucks.
So there you go. That's how you get compromised art people.
Compromised art is usually not very good.
Because the money comes in and you gotta make that money. Woo! Making
terrible.
Money. Making money. All right, I got a few questions here. This one comes from Bradley Collins on Facebook. Thanks for the question, Bradley. He says, his question is, top five best book-to-movie adaptations for the horror genre.
Book-to-movie.
Horror
genre.
For horror. So you got all the Stephen King stuff. A lot of Stephen King stuff.
Which wasn't necessarily all that good.
No, don't. It ranges from good to bad. There's... only if you just do Stephen King, there's The Shining. Cujo, Pet Sematary.
Shining was good.
Carrie. Yeah, Shining is the best one of all of them.
No.
Shining is the best one.
I mean, it's okay.
What else?
Only because I like Tim Curry.
Jaws isn't really a horror movie.
No.
But it was based on a book about a giant monster shark eating people.
The Road wasn't a horror movie.
No, but it's a pretty horrific book. Movie.
It could be considered a horror movie,
It could
though.
Be considered. I think so.
Yeah.
Oof. That's a tough one.
It's rough.
Would you consider Clockwork Orange a horror movie sort of thing?
Nah,
it's
not
a little
really.
Dark, but not really horror.
No.
What else? What else we got? What else we got?
What about Interview with the Vampire?
Was that was the book?
Pretty sure it was.
Anne Rice, right? I believe it was actually. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Positive.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Francis Ford Coppola. Nice.
Yeah. Is that five?
Sure.
No. At Matt Celery, his question is, it was a bit of a three-parter. Which movie quotes get overused in real life? You know which one came to mind immediately when I thought of that? Which movie quotes get overused? The whole, you talking to me?
Oh, all the time.
So tired of hearing that.
All the time.
Someone says that like it's the first time someone has ever done that.
Yeah.
You talking to me? I hate that.
The one, Happy Gilmore, The Price is Wrong, Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Bastards. Which movie quotes are underused?
Any of the ones you probably heard tonight?
Yeah, in the 100 movie insults.
All of those threats.
All those are underused.
Totally be used. They should be used every day.
You should make sure you use some of those threats in your day-to-day life,
please.
And the best movie quotes, ones that always work, that no matter how many times you hear them.
Oh man.
So, yeah, I don't know. Are there any?
The comedic ones usually get me.
I guess it's about comedy. Yeah.
Every time.
Only the comedic ones are ones because it'll make you laugh.
Exactly. Stuff.
If it's put in the right context.
Exactly.
Said at the right time.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 There we go. At Rage Against Twit asked, has the new X-Men Days of Future Past jumped the shark? Did you see that trailer? That was the other trailer I was going to ask you to watch.
No, I didn't,
see that one.
No.
But you know, it's Days of Future Past. They're going to try to squeeze all that into one movie.
Yep.
Do you think, you know, now they're mashing all the characters together from the old movie with the new movie?
What
do you think? Did X-Men jump the shark?
It all depends. I mean, we'll have to see the end. I mean, it's a lot of information and a lot of story to be crammed into however many hours they plan on this thing being.
Right.
But then again, I thought the same thing about Watchmen, and they did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't, you know, Zack Snyder or anything, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
It has the potential to both be very, very good or very, very bad.
It is Bryan Singer coming back. He did the best.
Could be good.
The first two X-Men are good.
First X-Men is good.
You don't like the second one?
Nope.
But then he hasn't really done a good movie in a while, though.
Yeah.
So the Jack the Giant Killer was just awful.
Maybe he'll come back. Maybe this will be his. Listen, I'm back, bitches.
The reawakening of Bryan Singer with X-Men: Days of Future Past.
Although the Sentinels look kind of lame already.
Yeah, boy. Well, I guess we'll see. And let me check one last time. I don't think we have any communications from the Billy D.
It's all right. I'm sure he's a busy man. He's got things going on.
He's a busy man, so, you know, he doesn't have to send in something every week. Whenever he wants. Whenever he can send in something, and then we just hit the refresh, and there we go. All right, so there you go. Well, that's pretty much brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Drew.
Hi, you're very welcome, sir.
So when are we recording that bonus episode? Today or tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
All right, so later.
I still got some show prep to do.
In the next few days, people look out for the first bonus episode. We talked about this before. We're going to do one a month. Drew's going to do a show about whatever the hell he wants. And then that's going to be on top of the Crespo Disco.
It's going to be about video games.
So you're going to do your first... Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, video games.
First episode's going to be about video games.
If you care about video games at all.
Look forward to that one, people.
Give it a listen.
Then we're going to do a Crespo Disco probably a week or two after that. And then I got to do my own... I got to figure out what I'm going to do. My bonus episode.
Yeah.
So bonus episodes are coming, people. Hope you enjoy them. They'll be fun to do. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it?
Oh, I really am.
Awesome.
I really am.
Awesome. All right, well, hope you all remember to turn your clocks back for that daylight savings.
I totally didn't. I woke up at an odd time and thought it was another time.
Drew got scurred. So it's time to edit this down, upload it, and there you go. And it's going to be all over.
Word up.
So thank you, guys. I think I said thank you, what, twice now? Three times?
Maybe four.
Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate
six.
It.
Six.
Thank you, guys.
12.
12? What the hell?
It's growing exponentially, Chris.
Exponential thank yous.
Don't say it again. Don't say something else. Say anything else.
Gracias.
Fuck off.
No, fuck off. All right. I closed with a fuck off before. I already closed with a fuck. Drew took off his headphones. He's done. I'm not done. I'm still going. Thank you very much for listening to Cinema Crespedisa. Make sure you leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars if you don't mind. Drew is walking away. He's done with the show. So it's just me here right now. I'm stuck in a wormhole of non. I can't. How do I get out of this now? How do I get out of this?
Can I beatbox a side and up?
Yeah. Crespedisa. It's the cinema of the Crespedisa. It's the cinema. I'm Chris Crespo. What? What?
What?
What?
What?
And we're out.
Okay.